comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very first time tonight. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you are here. And I think you will be, too. We have a lot of fun here at the Kevin Smith Show, and tonight shall be no different. A couple of quick responses here to, one response to an email about the Gods in the Garden DVD set, okay? It's one response. I got two different emails, one from the UK, one from Australia, wanting to know, will these play in our region? Because DVDs are often encoded with a region, and they will only play in that region because the DVD players are encoded as well. So the DVD players will play DVDs encoded in your region or that do not have a region code. And these are uni-region, okay? They'll play anywhere in the world. If you have a DVD player, it will play. So that should answer those questions. So don't worry about it if you have been thinking, boy, I'd like to get my hands on that seminar, but I don't want to get it and then find out it won't play in my region. It will. The music on our show, although I announce this every night, we always have new listeners, and so they don't always know. But the music on our show is all independent artists, and we subscribe to two different services. Some of the artists send us their music directly, and but a great many of them, we get the music from these two services. One of them is GarageBand.com, and one of them is Music.Podshow.com. And so, I recommend those places. Go over there and enjoy. I mean, there are thousands of songs over there. Yeah, you'll run into some that you don't like, but there are thousands of them. And you'll run into a lot of great music that you do like, and you can download it and put it right into your iPod and truck on. Over in Pennsylvania, there was a report on the 12th of this month, where there was a witness who was standing in his yard when he noticed a strange object approaching. He claimed that the object moved very slowly and appeared to be floating. The witness did not detect any sound as the object passed over where he was standing. He ran to the other side of the house and saw the object climb rapidly and then circle around his house before disappearing totally. The witness described that he felt as though he was being watched throughout the entire incident. Boy, that's kind of weird, isn't it? It sort of reminds me, I mean, you know, you read these things and you sort of picture in your mind how it was, you know. And it sort of reminds me of those sci-fi movies, you know, various ones, where there's a probe that is patrolling the streets and it moves around and watches someone. That's what it sort of sounds like. Austin, Texas, also on the 12th of this month, there were two witnesses driving south on Highway 45 when they noticed what they described as a circular donut-shaped light with a fluorescent-like quality of color. And it just kept hovering. It would come up from behind the horizon, hover around, move around, back down. Weird stuff. All right, we're going to be talking tonight about William Cooper and Gary McKinnon, and did I make a snap judgment on these guys? We'll be back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Tonight, I want to respond to a pretty long email that I got. And I want you to understand that the person who wrote me this email is a friend. And I am, by no means am I scolding. I never scold. Never, never. Never have. Won't start. Okay? But I am going to respond to some things that are in here because they are, even though he's my friend, erroneous. And I know that if I get one email, that represents a whole number of listeners who are thinking somewhere along the same lines. So I want to deal with a couple of things in here, and then I'll back up and deal with something that is said about William Cooper and Gary McKinnon. It says here that I made this is in reference to comments that I made last night about William Cooper. Okay, Bill Cooper. Bill Cooper, of course, wrote a book, hugely famous book called "Behold a Pale Horse." Bill Cooper spoke at a lot of UFO conventions. Bill Cooper hosted a radio show that was very popular. And Bill Cooper got into a shootout with deputies in Apache County, Arizona, and lost. And we had a caller that called in and mentioned that and said, I wonder what's the truth about that. And I responded. So we'll deal with that and with Gary McKinnon in just a bit. But it says here, I think your caller should have more free range to speak their beliefs without fear of you strongly interjecting your personal feelings due to your law enforcement background. Never did it. Never did it. If there's anything this regular audience, by regular I mean those of you who listen all the time, if there's anything that you know absolutely for sure about me, is that you're not going to get my feelings. I don't interject my feelings. I tell you what I think about things, but I don't interject my feelings. And this thing about fear that I will interject my feelings, my personal feelings, all through here there's talk about fear. And, you know, I have to tell you this, let me read a couple of more here. For you to tell people that it's a waste of time to be afraid because what will happen, and there's nothing we can do about it, is again making people ashamed to call and saying what is on their minds. No one should have to be afraid of calling in and expressing their views. That is such utter nonsense. Utter, complete nonsense. You have never heard me jump on a caller and chew the caller out. Never. You have never heard me say, well, you're dead wrong about that. Never. In 9 years of doing this show, most of that time doing it every night, Monday through Friday, you've never heard that. Now, this is a talk show, and on talk shows, are you ready? Talk. And that means that you get to say what's on your mind, but so do I. And look, we had a caller last night who disagreed with my view on some things, and that was fine. I said, we just have a different view on that. I see it this way. You've never, ever heard me do a couple of things. One, you've never heard me chew a caller out. You've never heard me get tough with a caller. The only people I've ever gotten tough with were guests who came on the show and insisted on turning it into a political discussion, even though I asked them not to. And I've done that with some pretty famous guests and said, no, we're not going to do that. That is not what the show is about. I've had one guest that hung up on me because of that. And some of you remember that. And, you know, I will get tough with a guest if they are violating the rules that were set out before they came on the show. The rules are they can say whatever they want to about the topic that we're discussing, but we're not discussing politics. That's not what this show is about. If I have a guest that comes on and the guest insists on talking about how to remodel your bathroom, I would do the same thing. That isn't what we agreed that we would be discussing. Okay? But you've never, ever heard me get tough with an audience caller, with someone who calls in from the audience. You've never heard me get tough. You will hear me, I think maybe once or twice, I've said, okay, well, look, that's getting over into the politics. Let's stick with this topic. You've heard me do that. But you have never, ever heard me jump a caller. Second thing you've never heard me inject my feelings into the discussion. If we could pick any topic right now, any topic, and I could say, all right, I want you to write what you think I believe about that topic. I want you to mail it to me. And I can't think of a topic that you would get right. You don't know what I believe. You know what I think about certain things, but you don't know what I believe because I leave that out of the show. Doesn't mean I don't have beliefs, but on this show, I focus on what we can know, what we can dissect, what we can analyze, what we can think about. I don't get into my beliefs. So this thing about callers should have more free range at speaking their beliefs. I've never stopped you. You stopped you. Some of you have stopped yourself, and you say, well, you know, I have this fear. Well, look, do I say things about fear? Yes, I sure do, because I'm sick and tired of America on its knees groveling and living in fear. I'm sick and tired of that. I'm sick and tired of seeing American citizens groveling when they're supposed to be free. We have freedom of speech guaranteed in the Constitution, and I hear people say, yeah, well, it doesn't work that way. Let me tell you, if you don't exercise it, if you don't use it, you lose it. You may as well not have freedom of speech if you don't stand up and use it. You may as well be under the boot of a dictator if you choose not to use the freedom of speech. Now, there are people out there who fear that I might not agree with them. Okay, I wrote a book. This book is called God's in the Garden. It was published 2 years ago, and it is excessively controversial. How many people in the world do you think there are that disagree with me on that subject? Most, but then they haven't read it, but most of them disagree with me on that subject. They disagree with that book. Does that mean, well, I'm afraid they might disagree with me, so I just better not write it? And that's what a lot of you folks do. Oh, I'm afraid he might not agree with me, so I just won't call. Okay, don't. But let me tell you, for every one of you that knuckles under to fear, look, everybody feels fear. Everybody. Every kid that joins the military and gets sent into battle is terrified, but he goes. Every cop that gets sent into a situation where there's someone with a gun doing some sort of crazy crap and shooting at people Every cop has a rush of fear. But you expect him to go. That's his job. He overcomes the fear and does what he's supposed to do. Now, for every one of you that knuckle under to fear, let me tell you, you are the death of this country. Not me. You. I'm not scolding you. I'm telling you a fact. You, because you knuckle under to fear, and you won't say what your opinion is, you won't speak, you won't have a discussion, you are what has killed freedom in America. And it's going fast. It's going more and more rapidly. It's like water going down a drain. And as it gets lower and lower, it spins faster. And that's what's happening to freedom in America. You are the reason if you're knuckling under to fear. I do say there is no reason to fear tomorrow. You have no control over tomorrow, do you? You have, if the whole universe goes up in a bang tomorrow, is there anything you can do about that today? No. So if there is something you can do, you do it. If there is nothing you can do, why fret and worry and wring your hands and run up the doctor bills on anxiety pills and on psychiatric counseling? That makes no sense. Okay? Now, people who call this show, we've got a caller that calls in and disagrees with me frequently. I won't call names. He calls in and disagrees with me. He says, well, I don't see it that way, or I see it different than that, or I'm not going to be as nice as you, and bam, 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 and he says what's on his mind. I never stop him. Of all the talk shows that you could possibly listen to, this one gives you more freedom of expression than all the rest put together. So those comments about people fearing, all I can say to that, and I won't be kind about it, grow up, America. Grow up. Freaking grow up. You're supposed to be adults. Welcome to the big boys' world where people say what's on their minds. You can too. And if you let fear stop you, that's your personal problem. I didn't create it, and I can't fix it. But understand, if you're one of those, you're killing freedom in this country. You personally are responsible. Now, in here it says that regarding my comment last night about William Cooper, he says, I don't know how much you've actually looked into what took place. Actually, quite thoroughly, I have. But whenever you have made comments which seem to be sided with law enforcement, I end up getting email from a couple of people who tell me they're in disagreement with you. Okay, good. So what? It is still, to some degree, a free country, and people can disagree. The Constitution of the United States, ladies and gentlemen, does not guarantee you that you will never be offended. It guarantees you that you will, because it provides protection for freedom of speech. And freedom of speech means sooner or later someone is going to say something that offends you or that you disagree with. Okay? Do you know how many people there are that absolutely hate me? Should I just not go on the air at night and say, well, you know, there are people that disagree with me, so I won't say anything. Oh, come on. Like I said, freaking grow up, America. It's time to get up and be adults again. It is time, past time, way past time, for us to learn the art of having discussions again. All right, and it says, I think many people are in fear of speaking their mind with you because you come across so forceful due to being a cop yourself. Has nothing to do with it. Most cops will not speak their minds because most cops live in fear that it will affect their career. I have never been afraid to speak my mind, either as a deputy sheriff, as a city police officer, as a city police investigator, or as an international police officer, or as an international police commander. I speak my mind. I will not live in fear. Doesn't mean I never feel it, but I will not let it control my life, and I will live free. You can, too. It's a great place to be. Then it says, you seem to always be ready to take the side of the USO disinformation controversy, but yet seem always to reach a snap judgment when it comes to stories like that of William Cooper and Gary McKinnon. No snap judgment. That's another thing you haven't heard here on this show. In 9 years of doing this show, you have not heard a snap judgment. Whenever I say something and say it as if it is a fact, that's because it is a fact. Whenever I'm speculating, I say, well, it's speculation on my part, but it looks this way to me. So what we're going to do is we're going to get off into a discussion of Bill Cooper and Gary McKinnon and what we know for sure about these guys, and I'll spend more time with Bill Cooper. Bill Cooper, I gave you a rundown of his background. He was a published author. He's a decorated veteran of the Vietnam era. He was in the Navy. Bill Cooper was, as I say, a published author, a speaker at a lot of UFO conventions, and he was a talk radio host. The latter years, he turned pretty much away from the UFO information and pretty much toward dealing with Illuminati, secret societies, conspiracies, etc. And he was hugely popular. His show was very, very popular. He had a big following. Just because someone is popular does not mean that everything they do is right. With a great many people around this planet, I am popular. With some of them, I am famous. With some, I'm completely unknown. That's just the nature of things. People, some people, when they meet me, they want my autograph. They want to get their picture taken with me. But that doesn't mean that anything I do is 100% correct. We'll be back right after this brief break. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about Bill Cooper. Now, Bill Cooper was hugely popular. He's very popular with many of you. I was one of the early fans of Bill Cooper. I read his book, and early on, I was a fan of Bill Cooper's. My opinion changed as I detected Bill changing, but that was my opinion. What I said last night was in response to a statement made by one of our callers. One of our callers said, I watched a video, and based on that, he said, I don't know how true it is. I don't know if it's true or not, but it looks like he was assassinated. And I said, no, that's not true. Now, he brought it up. I didn't bring up Bill Cooper. One of our audience brought it up and said, I don't know if that's true or not. No, it is not true. Bill Cooper was not assassinated. It is true that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. I have no problem saying that. I have no problem even saying that I know that there are many, many things about the John F. Kennedy assassination that point to some really nefarious deeds by, or seem to point to some really nefarious deeds by some of our government agencies or agents. I don't take the side of law enforcement every time. It has nothing to do with I was a cop. I hate dirty cops. Absolutely detest dirty cops. And so I don't take the side of law enforcement every time. I'm not even predisposed to take the side of law enforcement. I don't think that just because someone has been arrested that they're guilty. And that's because I know that there are cops that are not thorough. There are cops that have an agenda, and sometimes they arrest people when there is absolutely no justifiable reason to do so. I do not take the side of law enforcement just because I was one. I was one because I thought that upholding the Constitution was a good thing. And being a police officer, you're in a unique position to facilitate law and order under the Constitution, but they don't all do it. And I, you just don't know. I mean, I have paid a price in my career several times for standing for constitutional law and constitutional application of the law when that went against the grain of what someone above me in rank wanted to do. I'll give you one quick example. We were in a situation one time where I got sent to a call. I won't give you the details. It takes too long. But the long and the short of it is that my sergeant showed up. And this is when I was a patrol deputy. And my sergeant showed up. And I was conducting an investigation. There was no evidence that said I needed to arrest this person, and I was just collecting information, getting information, trying to find out what was going on. The sergeant shows up, and this complainant did not like that sergeant, and I don't know why. And she told us at that point when he showed up, she said, "I'm through talking. You can leave now." Well, you know what that means? If that's not a suspect that you're about to arrest, you have to leave. It's their property. This is sort of, you know, like that Fourth Amendment of the Constitution thing. I got up and got ready to leave, and he said, "We're not going anywhere till we get an answer from you." And she used an expletive and told him to get the blank out of her house. He looked at me and said, "Arrest her." I said, "For what?" He said, "Arrest her." I said, "I have nothing to arrest her for." And he put handcuffs on her and told me to transport her to the jail. Well, I can transport her to the jail. I haven't arrested her. But once she has been arrested, legally or illegally, she has a right now, under the Constitution, to be booked in and told what she's charged with. That's a constitutional right. I took her to the jail, and I took her to the booking desk, and I said, "I guess the sergeant will be in to do the booking." And they said, "Well, what's she under arrest for?" I said, "I have no idea." "Well, you have to book her." I said, "I can't book her. I didn't arrest her. I don't know what she's under arrest for." So they called the sergeant to come and do the booking. He was furious. I got gnawed on about that, and I would do it again today. It kept me from getting promotions for a while. I would do it again today. It was an unconstitutional arrest, and in my opinion, you don't do that. So I don't take the side of law enforcement just because I am one, but I'm going to tell you something. Just because you don't like the cops doesn't mean they're always wrong. It goes both ways, folks. Now, Bill Cooper, let's talk about what we know and what's not in dispute here. Let me give you the basic story. Bill Cooper lived over near, he was in Arizona, near, very near the border with New Mexico. And there were some arrest warrants for him. There were two arrest warrants. One was sworn out by a local doctor who said that Bill had made threatening moves toward him whenever he was loitering near Bill's residence. Well, you got to wonder what's a doctor doing loitering anyway. But nevertheless, he swore out a warrant, and that can be done. I don't suppose many of you know that, but you can appear before a justice of the peace or a judge, raise your right hand, swear that certain facts are true, and request a warrant. And they very often will issue a warrant based on your sworn testimony. The second arrest warrant came sometime later. They had not, they really didn't push the issue. The sheriff's office did not push the issue with that warrant. But then there came a second arrest warrant where a local man swore out a warrant and said that Bill Cooper had pointed his gun at him, threatened to shoot him, threatened to kill him. And so they issued a warrant for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. It was that warrant that they were attempting to execute, that warrant that they were attempting to make an arrest on. Now, someone had reported to them that Bill kept an AK-47 right by his front door, fully automatic, fully loaded, and that his house was booby-trapped. That turned out not to be the case. It turned out not to be true. Now, whenever you file a false police report in most states, that is a felony. I would like to know if the person who told them that was ever arrested. They should have been and should be prosecuted for that. In some states, it's a misdemeanor, but it's always illegal. The deputies, early in November 2001, the deputies show up at Bill Cooper's residence at around 11 p.m., and they want to serve this warrant. But based on the information they had received, they didn't want to get up around that house with Bill inside. They believed that he was armed with an AK-47. And you need to know, Bill Cooper had posted it on his website that anyone who tried to serve these illegal warrants would be met with armed resistance. He put that on his website. Now, none of that is in dispute. Let's talk about what is in dispute. Now, the operational plan seems clearly to be designed to draw Bill Cooper out of his house and then prevent him from being able to return to his house. That was the plan. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but what is in dispute is there is a report that the deputies had been told not to let Cooper back into his house alive, that they were under orders not to let him back into the house alive. That needs to be fully investigated. That really, really needs to be investigated. So what if he goes back into his house? Well, some people would say, yeah, but they thought he had an AK-47. And so what? You turn off the water to the house, you turn off the electricity to the house, and you wait. I assure you When you run out of water and you run out of food, you will reach a point where you will either give up or you will pass out from weakness, and the thing ends peacefully. So I think that needs to be investigated. According to the police reports, according to witnesses on the scene, and according to Bill Cooper's partner in the research center, and I saw this on YouTube, I saw his partner talking about this and his close friend, he's doing a walkthrough of, the video was shot out at Bill Cooper's house on that road. And you can see the house, and you can see the road. And he's doing a walkthrough and explaining what happened here. And there's one point where he says, and at this point, right about here, is where Bill raised the gun. He had a revolver, a 38. He called it a 38 snub nose special. So it's 38 special snub nose. That's a revolver. And he fired a shot, and it struck the deputy. Okay, that's in the police reports, that's in witness statements, and that's what his partner said. Can I ask you a question? When you fire a gun at police, what is it you expect is going to happen? I mean, like I said, grow up, America. When you fire a gun at police officers, what is it that you expect is going to happen? If you expect anything except a hail of lead, you have some very misplaced expects. Bill Cooper fired the first shot. Bill Cooper fired at a deputy and hit him in the head. What do you expect is going to happen? Now, this has nothing to do with my feelings. I'm not interjecting feelings. I'm telling you the facts of the case. You can check this out yourself. These facts are only in dispute among those who haven't looked at all the evidence. When you look at all the evidence, including the testimony of his close friend and partner, that's what happened. Bill Cooper started a gunfight. He had already posted it on his website that anyone who tried to serve those warrants would be met with armed resistance. And he did it. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, and we'll continue with our discussion here of Bill Cooper. The thing that I was saying before the break is, what do you expect is going to happen when you shoot at cops? Now, you might say, well, yeah, but those warrants were no good. They didn't have it. That doesn't matter. When you shoot at cops, under the laws of every state, and even it's been ruled under the Constitution that this is not unconstitutional. You shoot at the cops, they have a right to defend themselves. And, you know, it doesn't matter if my best friend is shooting at me. If it's my best friend, I'll return fire. I have a right to live. I have a right to defend myself. Well, yeah, but, you know, what are you going to do if these warrants are no good? Well, what you have to do is you have to go to court. You go ahead. Look, if it's an illegal arrest, you have to go on and go to court and prove your case. You are presumed to be innocent, and the cops are presumed to be wrong. So go prove your case. and then you go free. That's what you do. But when you start shooting, you have to expect they're going to shoot back. And they did. And they killed him. A very unfortunate situation, and maybe it could have been handled better by the police, by the sheriff's office. That's always open for opinions and conjecture and armchair quarterbacking. I mean, I see things that I would have done quite differently, but I wasn't there. They were. What I do know, though, is this. When you start shooting at police, you have to expect that you are going to get shot. I mean, these guys are good with their guns. They have to practice. They have to train. They're good with their guns. And they intend to go home alive at the end of the shift. Bill Cooper said he was going to do it. Bill Cooper did it. Bill Cooper got the consequences of it. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with, you know, people are just so, see, and I'm going to make one of those statements now that my friend says scares people. So I want you to hang on to your rear, strap yourself down, return your trays to an upright position, because I'm going to say something that may scare some of you. People are so emotional, they cannot think. Not everyone, but some people. So emotional, they can't think. Well, we love Bill Cooper, and you're saying that he was... I'm telling you what the facts are, even admitted by his own partner. Those are the facts. This doesn't have anything to do with, was Bill Cooper a good investigator of UFOs? This doesn't have anything to do with, was he correct about the Illuminati? It doesn't have anything to do with, was he correct about secret societies? None of that enters into this. On that day, that night, in November 2001, on that night, Bill Cooper, November the 5th, 2001, Bill Cooper raised his gun, fired it at a deputy, and struck the deputy in the head. Bill Cooper started a gunfight with the sheriff's office, and he lost. Those are just the facts. So, how is that interjecting my own personal feelings based on my police background? Those would be the facts if I never was a policeman. Those would be the facts if I didn't even do this show. If I wasn't even doing a talk show, those would still be the facts. How is a statement of the facts in response to someone who said, I saw a video, I don't know if it's true, but it looks like they just assassinated him, and I said, no, that's not true. Here's what happened. I didn't interject any personal feelings. I told you the facts. If the facts scare the hell out of you, please dig a hole, crawl in it, and never come out, because the world is full of facts. It is a fact that we know that our government has from time to time engaged in some really dark, nefarious stuff. That's a fact. I don't take the part of the government when I think they're wrong. But when I think they are being wrongly accused of something or blamed for something that's really our fault, I say so, and I did last night. We blame the government. It's kind of like the devil made me do it. Remember that with Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. No, we do a lot of this stuff to ourselves. And we do it by not thinking. We do it by living life with our emotions 40 feet in front of us. We know that the government has engaged in murder. Now, some of you who are associated with the government, now your hackles are up and you're getting emotional. Just calm down and you grow up too. What do you call Ruby Ridge? What do you call Waco? I don't take the side of the government just because I used to work as an international police officer under the State Department, or because I used to work as a deputy under a local sheriff's department, or a city policeman under a local city police department. When the government's wrong, the government's wrong. And the only way to get it right is for a few people to have the guts to stand up and say that's wrong and to present the case. But in the case of Bill Cooper, the facts, the evidence, all says Bill Cooper brought that on himself when he aimed that gun and pulled the trigger and shot a deputy. You gotta expect that's coming. All right, let's talk about, and that's not a snap judgment. I told you more about Bill Cooper and the facts of that case than most of you had ever heard. But you can check into this. Look, let me tell you, crap gets written all over the internet on both sides of the fence. There are people out there who are writing about Bill Cooper as if he's a saint. Bill Cooper is not a saint. Bill Cooper was a man. He did some things very, very well. He did one thing very, very stupidly. And it cost him his life. And it's unfortunate. But Bill did it. All right? On the other side, there are people in the media that wrote really stupid things. They wrote that he was a member of a militia. A militia member has been shot and killed by the sheriff's office. Hogwash. Bill Cooper was not a militia member. But even if he had been, you know, it's not illegal to be in militias. It's illegal for militias to do illegal things. It's not illegal to be a member of a militia or a group that someone identifies as a militia. It's illegal for them to do illegal things. But Bill Cooper was not a member of a militia. And the press played that up. Well, you know what I think about the press. I have told you about that. But let me say something, although this is not a political show and I'm not getting into politics, I have a message for politicians. Just like I ask my audience here, what do you expect when someone aims a gun and pulls the trigger and fires a shot at the police? What do you expect is going to happen? Let me ask the politicians. When you assume that you are the government and you don't understand that it's we who are the power, and you are employees, and you act as though you are the power instead of the mouthpiece for the power, and you disregard the will of the people again and again and again. For instance, there are Americans being kidnapped, being robbed, and killed all along our southern border, and you guys turn your back on it and even try to disrupt any effort to secure that border. What do you expect? That they won't form militias? You guys are drinking some kind of weird Kool-Aid. We'll be back. I want to turn my attention to Mr. Gary McKinnon. Did I make a snap judgment about Gary McKinnon? Gary McKinnon is accused by the United States government of hacking into, breaking into, I think it's either 92 or 94 computers over a period of about two and a half years. And leaving messages they say he did damage to systems, and that cost a lot of money. And then they say that he left messages. One of them is, "I am solo." And basically, I'm paraphrasing. I can't remember the exact message, but it's something like, whereas the U.S. government is at present time a terrorist government, I will continue to disrupt at the highest levels. Now, what have I said about Gary McKinnon? What I said about Gary McKinnon is that I know he's guilty. And that's not an opinion. I know he's guilty because he said he is. I know for sure he did it because he said he did. He has said so to the press on a couple of occasions. And he's admitted that he broke into those computers, that he did it. He's guilty. Is that interjecting my personal feelings because I'm a cop? Gary McKinnon is guilty. Gary McKinnon did what he said he did. Now, he is, I don't think that he has admitted leaving that message. I don't know if he did that. It is accused. That's in question because I don't know what he says about that. But I do know that Gary McKinnon is guilty because Gary McKinnon has admitted that he is guilty. He said he did it. I said Gary McKinnon should stand trial. Now, there are people in the world of UFOs who say, well, he was just looking for UFO evidence. Okay, let's say, because you're in the UFO business, you research UFOs, you investigate UFO sightings. Let's just say you come home one night, and there's a burglar going through your house. And this burglar is opening drawers and rifling through stuff and just looking around. Would you think this person should be arrested for breaking into your house? I think you would say yes. And then the guy says, well, I was just looking for UFO evidence. Do you think they should not prosecute him? Come on. But I have also done a show right here at this microphone where I listed for you the five or six worst computer criminals according to the United States Department of Justice. The ones that they prosecuted and said these are the worst. They did more damage than anybody's ever done. And I read for you the sentences that they got. And the very worst one was Mitnick, and he got almost 6 years. And I said, it smells a little fishy to me that that's the worst one we ever had. He got 6 years, and they're talking about McKinnon getting 70. Something's a little fishy here. Something's not right here. How is that siding with law enforcement? How is that taking the side, predisposed to take the side of law enforcement because I've been a cop? How is that? I mean, again, grow up, America. Think. Don't walk around with your feelings and emotions 40 feet in front of you looking for a reason to get all upset. Grow up. It's a big boy's world out here. And in the big boy's world, whether you want to live in it or not, you do. And in the big boy's world, people think, they talk, they discuss things, they have differing views. And facts are facts, whether we like the facts or not. The fact is, Gary McKinnon is guilty. He said he is. That's a fact. He should be prosecuted. I don't care what he was looking for. I don't care if he was looking for Bugs Bunny's underwear. He broke into computers. He's admitted that he did it. He should be prosecuted for it, but he should not be hung out to dry. And I said that. All right. So you be the determiner here. We used to have a president that said he's the decider. You be the decider. Have I reached a snap decision on these? Have I injected my personal feelings on these? Now, I'm not looking for people to call me and say, oh, no, you're just wonderful. If you think that what I've said is an injection of my personal feelings because I am former law enforcement, please call and explain to us why. You will discover, if you'll crawl out of that hole of fear you're living in, you will discover I will let you say what you think. I don't guarantee you that I will agree with it because I'm free. I'm free. Some of you no longer live in a free America. I do. And I will say what I think, but you'll get a chance to say what you think. The telephone number we're going to be using tonight is this one. It is 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. And I'd like to know what you think. Do you think that just because I present facts to you, and they are facts, but that goes against what you feel, do you think that that's wrong? Well, you get a chance to say it. And I remind you, those of you who are afraid to call because I might have a different opinion, you're killing this country. Crawl out of that hole, grow up, and call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, boy, Bill Cooper and this thing with Gary McKinnon, you know, I have a lot of respect for Bill Cooper for what he's done for, I guess you call it the truth movement about, you know, pretty much exposing a lot of information. But I have to say, you know, looking at the evidence objectively, like on both sides of the fence, you got to look at things objectively. Yeah, he did pick a fight with them. And I, as much as it pains me to say that, he did say that he was going to fire on them. And when they showed up, he did.
Yeah.
You know, it's painful. It's painful for me to say that. And, you know, it'd be the same thing if Alex Jones were to do something like that, or some other truther would come out, or, you know, to say something like that and then go out and do it, you know.
Well, and see, Kevin, this is what I'm talking about when I say that doing things like that is like taking on a tank with a pea shooter.
Yeah.
You're not going to win. There's more of them than there is of you, and you're not going to win. And so you have to fight your battles a different way. That's when you pick up a gun and you shoot it at cops, you got to expect a storm of lead coming your direction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sorry it happened. I wish he hadn't done it. But he did it, not me. I didn't invent this. He did it, and he got the consequences of it.
Yep, and when it comes to Mr. McKinnon, Gary McKinnon, now I saw his interview with Project Camelot that he did from 2006, and yeah, he admitted. Yeah, he broke into the systems, and yeah. Kind of pointed out. But I'm hearing an echo here. He pointed out how weak the system, at least the security systems were at the time. But he did get a lot of good information. I'll give him that. But yeah, he did break the law. But
well, and see, the point is this: sometimes people decide to engage in what is called civil disobedience, okay? Now, civil disobedience means they have decided that they are basically, they knowingly are going to break a law to make a point. There's a long history of that. There's a long tradition of that. That is how the United States got to be the United States. Some guys broke English law. Okay.
Yep.
But you have to, when you make a decision to do that, you have to be willing to take the consequences. I reported a fellow officer for violation of a person's constitutional rights. And knowing that when I did that, it was egregious. It was absolutely unbelievable what this cop did. And I filed a report. And I knew when I filed it that I would have tons of other cops turn their back on me. And they did. When the department I was working for made a decision that nothing was going to be done, there was not going to be an investigation, I wrote a complaint against the highest-ranking officer involved in that, and I took it to the chief. And I said, if there's no investigation, I'm going to the FBI.
Yep. Well,
let me tell you what happened. They forced me, they busted me down to slick sleeve, no rank. They put me in the communications center, the radio room, and I have, to this day, the highest arrest-to-conviction ratio in the history of that department. And they put me in the radio room. They disgraced me. The chief went and told people that I had psychological problems. They forced me to go to get this psychological evaluation done. And they sent me to a guy who was a drunk that got fired from his hospital job for being a drunk. And that's who they sent me to. Okay? And you, when you decide you're going to do the right thing, sometimes there's a price to pay. And you have to pay it. But I'll tell you this. The next year, I was working for the international police, making twice what that chief was making.
Well, Kev, talking about Bill Cooper again, could it be possible, would you consider this, that considering the kind of radio that he was involved in, and considering that, he was an enemy of the state because he was releasing a lot of information that they didn't want people to know, do you think that they might have actually, it might have been I wouldn't say a setup, but they took their chance. When he said that he was going to, that if they came over to his place, they would open fire on him, do you think they might have taken that chance and say, this is our chance to get him?
Well, I mean, yes and no. Let me tell you, when you are presented as a police officer or a sheriff's deputy, you are an officer of the court. When a warrant is issued by the court and it's put in your hands, you are under orders of the Constitution to try and make the arrest. You have to do it.
Because I wouldn't put it past them. The powers that be have killed off people like that before. People that were speaking up when they didn't want them to talk. You know what I mean?
Well, what about Ruby Ridge? What about Waco?
Yeah.
Sure, it's been done, but that's not the case here. The case here is before there was gunfire, a deputy tried to approach his. He was in his truck, and a deputy tried to approach the truck. And did not have his gun drawn, just walked up to the truck, and Bill Cooper put his hand out and pushed the deputy back hard and caused the deputy to fall to the ground. Okay, so there were attempts without guns to try and arrest him. And Cooper brought this on himself. I don't think they went there saying, we're going to kill this guy. However, there is a report that they were under orders not to let him back in the house alive. Now, I don't know if that report is true. That's in a video. You can see it on YouTube. It's his friend and partner who says that one of the deputies or one of the Department of Public Safety officers told him that. But I have to put that as unconfirmed. I heard it, but I can't confirm it. But they did try to arrest him without guns, and it was Cooper who pulled a gun and fired first.
Well, I have to say that since they knew that he was going to do that, I still have to say that, Cooper was dumb enough to go and put that on his blog and to go and outright do it. But I think once he did do it, they just said, hey, this is our chance to get him. And I think they would do the same thing with Alex Jones if they were given the chance. They would do the
well,
same
yeah, but now wait a minute. Let me ask you this. How would you go out and arrest him? You have a warrant that says you have to go arrest him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If I'm given a warrant and I see the guy, I make no try to arrest him, and then I see the guy and I don't try to arrest him, I can go to jail. Okay? Now, that's all very constitutional. And that's all been ruled on, that's all proper. Okay. So this arrest warrant comes down. He says he's going to shoot. You have information that his house is full of, it's got an AK-47 and fully loaded, fully automatic. So their operational plan was to get him out of his house, away from that AK-47. Okay, that makes sense, doesn't it? That sounds pretty peaceful. They did. They got a couple of plainclothes cops to sit at the end of the driveway, which is down the road a bit, and play very loud music on their car stereos. And he came out to tell them to leave. And they said, we're not going to leave. And he said, I'm going to call the police. And he starts back to his house. Now, they've got him away from what they think is an AK-47. It turns out that it was a 30-06 deer rifle. It was not a fully automatic AK-47. So they got him away. And now they're going to try and surround him and take him without gunfire. They've gotten him away from that gun they thought he had in the house. The operational plan is not what I would have done, but it's not a bad plan.
Well, regardless of what the issue was,
Hello?
We lost a very good person, especially in our field. But I have to say, but he was. You have to look at both sides of it, too. You have to look at everything, like from an objective point of view. And, yeah, but Cooper was dumb enough to go and pull that gun, and that's what happened. And he paid the ultimate price for it.
Kevin, I appreciate the call. I've enjoyed it. I've got to move on and let other people call. But thanks for the call. I appreciate it. All right, folks, the telephone line is open. And the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. This is Ryan up in Puget Sound today. How you doing?
Outstanding. How are you doing, Ryan?
Well, I got a couple comments. Bear with me.
Sure.
I have an echo, so I might not be able to hear you, but I'll go ahead and make my comment anyway. Anyways, first of all, a couple things about Bill Cooper. Now, a lot of the thing that people don't realize about Bill Cooper is a lot of the information that he talks about in his video regarding the UFO information and such. A lot of people think that was directly from his job in the Navy that he had access to that information. But really, the fact of the matter is that a lot of that came directly from John Lear. And John Lear, if anybody has heard John Lear, if you believe that there's a population on Venus and there's a equal population on Jupiter and there's millions of people living on the moon, behind the moon, and the planes of 9/11 were holograms, then that's the kind of information that Bill Cooper got, I'm frustrated, Kevin, because I think there's a lot of people out there that see a video on YouTube. I hear people. I've heard talking they say that there's FEMA trains coming in and there's bird flu and there's you better be scared because the government wants to stick you in a train and use you and do tests on you and experiments and spread this bird flu on you. And I ask them. I say, well, where'd you get your information for this? And they say, oh, I saw a video on YouTube. I say, okay. Do you have any more information? Oh, no, I just saw it on a video. Okay, well, does that mean that every, you know, just because you see a video on YouTube or a video on online does not mean that it's absolutely true? Mm-hmm. If we listen to what Robert Hastings said last week, there is a lot of bad information out there, and I think purposely so. Sure. However,
yeah, that's true.
I think people need to be a little bit more diligent with what they see out there. Now, I just, as far as William Cooper goes, if you talk to all the people that helped back in the 70s and 80s, like George Knapp and several other people, they would all tell you that he went absolutely, he went certifiably nuts. He started to lose it. And that's the problem, Kevin, is there's people out there that think that they have all the answers, and what they'll try to do is try and convert you. And they get upset if you don't get converted to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. But now let me ask you this. Have you ever felt threatened about calling in? Have you ever felt fearful that I was going to attack anything you said?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Just wondered. I appreciate the call. Thanks much.
There's people that get upset when I say something that they disagree with. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that a lot of the information Bill Cooper got came directly from John Lear. And if you believe that the planes in 9/11 are holograms and some of the stuff that John Lear says, then that's where Bill Cooper got his information. I just, you know, I have credibility issues with that. And there's people get upset because they worship him so much. But anyways, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Look, you've heard me say when these topics come up, maybe it's true. I don't know. I haven't been to the backside of the moon. I haven't been to Venus. I don't know. But, you know, when someone says something, I reserve the right to ask questions about it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? I guess you're not. All right, we have a break coming up here in about 20 seconds, and we'll open the phone lines again after the break. But look, there's no snap judgments here on this show. I don't inject my feelings or my beliefs. And I would be surprised if you could accurately describe any of my beliefs. I don't think you know how I feel about anything either. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
How are you tonight?
Doing well, sir. Thanks for asking.
Interesting topic. I had the fortune or misfortune of actually meeting Bill Cooper. And I went to one of his lectures down in Atlanta one year back in the 90s. And unfortunately, go ahead.
We're waiting.
Unfortunately, he was very intoxicated when he was up on his lecture stand. And he still gave a fairly decent lecture, but you could just see the way he wobbled around that he was drinking. And I know that from other people that have seen him before that were in my friendship list, that they had also seen him appear at these lectures that he was giving intoxicated.
Well, I say I don't know anything about that. I have heard those stories, but I wobble around when I'm on my feet for a long time because of my blood pressure. And
he was intoxicated.
Well, maybe I don't know, and what I don't know, I can only say I've heard those stories, I can't comment on it. I don't know.
Well, see, I got to go up and talk to him after the lecture,
mm-hmm.
and that's how I know.
But whatever he was, and you know, whatever he contributed in terms of his writing and his radio show, that's a separate issue.
Right.
When Bill Cooper raised his gun and pulled the trigger and shot a deputy, he started a gunfight that he lost.
Exactly. I don't have any real sympathy for somebody that does that.
Well, I do and I don't. I don't have any sympathy for that action. I do have a sort of a corner of sympathy that says, man, that's just tragic. I mean, the guy truly had a lot of potential because, I mean, just look at the audience he had. And just really tragic. And it was a tragic way to end things, but it didn't have to end that way. And it ended that way because Bill Cooper shot a deputy.
Exactly. You know, I happen to have about 3 or 4 video tapes of him giving these lectures in different cities around the country. And I noticed that he never gives the same lecture. He would change material depending on what it was that the people were wanting. I hate to say that about him because he's a fellow investigator and, you know, a ufologist, but I didn't notice that because I watched him carefully over the years.
Well, like I say, I don't know. What I know about Bill Cooper is I read his book called Behold a Pale Horse.
Yes.
It was, I thought, a well-written book. Scared the devil out of me when I read it. But I know that. I heard him on the radio a couple of times. But then you have to understand, too, I was overseas for most of that time.
Yes.
But I did hear him a couple of times on shortwave. And then I know this story that I'm talking about tonight. It's not just a story. It's an event that happened. And the facts that I've stated have been well established and even admitted to by his own partner.
Sure, sure. And, you know, at the time that Bill Cooper was giving his lectures, there was also another investigator out there by the name of Bill English from New Mexico who was going through the same thing.
Well, have you felt intimidated about calling in tonight, Michael?
No, Kevin, I never feel intimidated calling you.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
No, you're very fair, and you don't try to make anybody feel like that they have to be careful what they say to you.
Well, I don't think I do, and I certainly try not to. Mike, thank you for the call.
You're very welcome, Kevin.
All right. The telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Very interesting talk tonight.
Well,
it's always been my experience that people who live in fear are the people that do not live. They are the ones who basically want to sit in a little dark room on a couch, no lights on, shades drawn, doors locked, and not responding to anyone. And you don't live life that way. If a person is like that, then they might as well, I feel, if that's the case, they might as well just completely shut themselves off in a box and don't have any contact with the outside world. Because the outside world's going to pass them by. They're going to stagnate mentally, physically, and intellectually. And I've met a number of people like that, not locking themselves in a dark room, but their belief system, the way they look at life, and the way they look at people trying to talk to them. They're very set in their own ways. They're not open to new ideas. They don't want to interact with other people. And I've met a lot of folks like that. I've met a lot of folks that are just very set in their ways, which is fine with me. That's, you know, their business, and that's their freedom and choice to do so. But at the same time, they don't learn a lot. And,
well, let me ask you something. I don't know. This is not pre-programmed here, so I don't know. Have you read my book?
No, I haven't. I'm actually going to get the DVD.
Okay.
I want to see the lecture.
You can tell from the ads that we run.
I'm looking forward to viewing it. But
you can tell from the ads that I have put on that it is controversial material.
Mm-hmm.
And look, long before I wrote that book and long before I did the seminar, I knew it was controversial material. And if I had been afraid that someone was going to say that they disagreed with it, if I had been afraid of that and allowed that to dictate my actions, I never would have written the book. I never would have done the seminar. And see, I know, because I know the theological crowd real well. And I know that there are going to be things said like, well, he has a doctor's degree, but it's not in Hebrew, and I have a doctor's degree in Hebrew, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, that's fine. They can go ahead and say that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, you don't have to have a doctor's degree in English to read it and understand it. And the same thing is true of Hebrew. And so if I was afraid of those confrontations like that, I would never have produced that material. But I'm not afraid of them. I know they're coming. Doesn't mean I like them, but that's just the nature of the game. We live in a world, at least for now, where people can express their views, and they should.
Well, there have been times when I have spoken up on things that I felt were not for the betterment of other people, and I've had folks threaten me. I've had folks say, you know, well, what you're saying is not true, or what you're saying is not correct, or I have this information that what you're saying is not the real thing. And I always tell them, well, you're entitled to your opinion, and I can respect that. But I know for a fact that what I am telling you is the truth in my view, and you are either free to listen to it or not listen to it. And if you listen to it, great. I might have helped you out somehow. And if you haven't listened to it, well, that's your prerogative. And unfortunately, you're not going to come away with a whole bunch of stuff. But there have been times when I have been literally almost threatened.
Mm-hmm. I have been threatened. That deal where I reported another officer for violation of someone's constitutional rights,
exactly,
rather egregiously.
Yeah.
I had threats on me. I had cops telling me, you better watch your back. And my answer was, you better make your first shot count.
Well, see, I have a friend that has been unjustly arrested, and there's just a whole bunch of stuff going on with her, and I'm trying to help her sort that out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, unfortunately, those things do happen, and some people are treated unfairly. Some people are not proven guilty in a court of law are sent to prison,
mm-hmm.
Or are arrested unfairly, as you stated earlier with the case with that young lady.
Statistically,
what you did was right.
Debbie, listen, statistically, the easiest place on earth to go to jail is the United States of America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. I got to run. Thanks for the call.
All right, Kev.
All right. Oops, I didn't mean to cut her off that quickly. All right. The telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. Or the toll-free number. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. I got a flash message from Australia, and it says, I know this is a little bit off topic, but I hear a lot of people mentioning Alex Jones. And it says, why is he not on any government no-fly list? Pretty good question. It says, there are a lot of people on those lists that have done and said a lot less than he has. I know this doesn't make him a disinfo agent, but if people dig a little deeper, it's amazing what you can find. Okay, Justin from Australia, thank you. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah, kind of interesting tonight, kind of down my alley, because I'm somewhat cynical. I believe that, you know, I see a bigger picture. You know, if you take them individually, you know, you can break them down and say, yeah, it was somebody's fault. But when you look at it like Ruby Ridge, Oklahoma City, Vidian, Cooper, 9/11, you start seeing intent. And I believe that the outcome of all those situations were planned and were actually... that's the results that they wanted from that, from them situations.
I don't disagree with that, except with Cooper. And the reason I say that is because they did make an attempt to arrest him without any guns being drawn. And Cooper shoved the deputy to the ground and drove towards his house. I got out of his vehicle. They yelled at him to stop. He fired a shot and struck a deputy in the head. And when you do that, you started the gunfight if you do that. You want to hang on through the break, or is that about wrap it up for you?
Yeah, I don't have much to say. That's just my point.
All right. Thanks for the call. We'll take some more calls right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. And we will take calls right up until we run out of time. I want you to have the opportunity to say what's on your mind. You know, and look, if you think that I inhibit people from saying what's on their mind, you think that that's what's going on here, you need to call me and tell me that, all right? You need to call me and tell me where I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'll correct it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Rick from Kentucky.
Hi, Rick.
Well, I guess I'm the one that brought it up last night. The question I had last night about Bill Cooper was not concerning the video. It was the text above the video that said he was murdered by government agents of the government.
Yeah.
Which I guess you come down to it, deputy sheriffs are agents of the government.
Absolutely, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that was kind of written for dramatization, maybe.
Well, it could be. And look, there are people who think that anything a cop does is wrong because they hate the cops.
Yeah.
And I don't hate the cops, but I also don't think they're always right. I don't assume they're right. You see, I'm sort of constitutional on this. I've talked about this before. Whenever
evidently.
Well, whenever I would arrest someone, I knew when we went to trial that it was not them that's on trial. It's me and my evidence.
Yeah.
And he's presumed to be innocent. That means I'm presumed to be wrong.
Yeah.
Now, there are cops who don't see it that way. And they're a problem. They're a big problem.
Yeah. Another thing I want to say is I've never felt intimidated calling the show, never felt fear. As a matter of fact, this is one of the only places I feel like I can go to really voice my opinions. You know, I have friends that I can't talk about some of the things we talk about because they raise their eyebrows and whatever. So There's no fear involved in calling your show, and I'm thankful it's there, so there is a place I can talk about it.
Well, I appreciate that. That's my goal. I will tell you this. I'm sort of cut out of a bolt of cloth that says, if I can't make you raise your eyebrows, I'm not doing my job. You know? It doesn't bother me when my friends raise their eyebrows. And I've been this way for 55 years. And so, you know, that doesn't bother me. But I do understand that, you know, it does bother a lot of people. But here on this show, whatever's on your mind, that's cool with the show.
Yeah, that's the way I've always felt, you know, and I feel like those other people can listen. If they don't want to believe what they hear, they don't have to believe it.
Yeah.
They can at least listen.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rick, here's another thing. I don't ask people to believe it. I'm not asking anyone to believe this stuff that I've talked about tonight. If they doubt it, they need to go investigate it themselves. And, you know.
I agree.
So.
I agree.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
You bet. Bye-bye. Okay. The telephone line is still open. We still have time for one more quick call. 623-444-5889. And the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. And so if you've been trying to get in and haven't been able to get in, now's the time, all right? We've got time for that. But once we run up against the end of the hour, you know, if a call comes in the last 2 minutes, I can't take it because we don't have time for that. 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. Look, I think when you run up against something that's right, you ought to say it's right. And when you run up against something that's wrong, you ought to say it's wrong. And that is what I try to do here on this show. When I think that the government is right on something within our genre, I say so. When I think they're wrong, I say so. When I think the cops have done something right, I'll say that, and I'll explain why. And when I think they did something wrong, I'll say that. But I'll do the same thing to a UFO investigator. A UFO investigator that raises a .38 special, pulls the trigger, and shoots a deputy. He's wrong. He's just wrong. And, you know, I'm sorry it happened. It's a tragedy, but it's not a tragedy that was brought on by the cops. It's a tragedy that was brought on by Bill Cooper. I think it's right for Gary McKinnon to be prosecuted. He has admitted that he committed the crimes. I think it's right for him to be prosecuted for that. I don't think it's right for Gary McKinnon to be exposed to 70 years of prison. That makes no sense whatsoever. That doesn't make sense in anybody's dictionary. The worst criminal, the worst computer criminal that America ever prosecuted was Mitnick. And he did 6 years. How does it make sense for Gary McKinnon to be exposed to 70 years? Now, it still remains to be seen. He might not get, but, you know, a couple of years, 5 years, you know, whatever. But, you know, that's just way overboard. 70 years, that doesn't fit. And I don't think there are very many folks in America who would say they think it fits. But did he do the crime? Yes, he did. He said he did. I think he's telling the truth about it. He said he did it. All the evidence said he did it. So is it right to prosecute him? Yeah, I think so. Is it right for him to get 70 years? I don't see how that could be right in anybody's book. But we'll have to see how that plays out. Now, I hope that tonight some of you who've been sitting back fearful, I hope that you've crawled out of the hole and joined the big boys world where we talk. You know, when I was a kid, we used to have this little saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Remember that? How did you get to the point where you fear words? How did you get there? We have interesting things happening in the world all around us. We have interesting things happening in the genre that we deal with on this show. And the only way that we can get to the bottom of these things is for us all to chip in and talk about it, discuss it, have different ideas about them, different opinions about them. There are some things where opinions don't matter. Your opinion about 2 plus 2 makes no difference whatsoever. It's still 4. My opinion makes no difference. 2 plus 2 is 4. If you think your opinion makes a difference, go tell your banker you think 2 plus 2 is 10. See if they'll use that kind of math and add up your deposits. They won't do it. There are some things that are just facts. We may not like those facts. We may wish they were not facts. But no amount of whitewashing can make them not be facts. They are facts. I wish this had not happened, this thing with Bill Cooper, but it did. And he started the gunfight. All right, folks. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.